Here I go. And then here I go. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic one nation, indivisible, liberty, and for all.
Thank you, Maya. That was great. And I appreciate that that's a little bit different for everybody, but I still think it's very important that we do it. So thank you to everyone for bearing with the technology as we move through. We have a proclamation tonight. Let me just make sure I'm on my right order here. Yeah, ceremonial matters, 1B. We have a proclamation for National Library Week. So National Library Week is April 19th to 25th, 2020. And our proclamation reads, whereas our nation's schools, academic, public, and special libraries make a difference in the lives of millions of Americans. And whereas the libraries are places of opportunity, providing programs that teach all forms of literacy, promoting continuing education, and encouraging lifelong learning. And whereas in times of economic hardship, Americans turn to and depend on their libraries and librarians. And whereas librarians are trained tech-savvy professionals providing technology training and access to downloadable content like ebooks. And whereas libraries play a vital role in supporting the quality of life in their communities. And whereas libraries continuously grow and evolve in how they provide for the needs of every member of their communities. And whereas libraries help people of all ages discover a world of knowledge both in person and online, as well as provide personal services and assistance in finding needed information. And whereas libraries are narrowing the digit divide by providing no-fee public computer and internet access to accommodate the growing need for access to digital and online information. And whereas libraries, librarians, library workers, and supporters across America are celebrating National Library Week. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Steve Przunka, Mayor of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, do hereby proclaim April 19th to 25th, 2020 National Library Week. And I encourage all residents to visit the library this week and take advantage of the wonderful library resources that are available at your library. Lives change at your library. I will point out that the library is not open right now, but we do have the mask program going out of the library. There is books that you can still sign out if you would like to. You just need to let them know what you need. And also, they have a wonderful story time happening at our library. So take advantage of all the things our library can do. And we appreciate our librarians and our library program. Kim, I will sign that at the appropriate time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call, please, Kim.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Present.
Morrison?
Here.
DeLong?
Present.
Decker?
Here.
Howell?
Here.
Larrabee?
Here.
And Mayor Przunka?
And I'm here. Thank you. Persons to be heard. We have two people signed up tonight, and the first person, I lost the list. Could you please help me out there, Kim?
Dale Parkinson.
Dale Parkinson. Thank you. Dale, are you on the line?
I believe I am. Can you hear me?
We got you, Dale. Thank you very much. Go ahead with your testimony, please.
My name is Dale Parkinson, and I live at 3.5 miles of Mobia Highway. Thank you for allowing me to speak this evening. I first want to thank the mayor, city manager, and the assembly for your leadership thus far in the COVID-19 pandemic. I would also like to thank the citizens of Wrangell and the visiting nurses, CNAs, and contractors working on the new hospital for following the rules set out to flatten the curve. We have indeed achieved the flattest curve possible, no curve. There has been enough fear dispensed by all levels of government and the media. Now is the time to start talking about reopening businesses and getting life back to normal. Mr. Mayor, it is your job to tell the citizens of this community what best practices we have in place, if indeed you've explored best practices with other communities and other hospitals. Tell us what therapeutic protocols and procedures we have in place so the citizens are not afraid that they will die. The drumbeats of an overwhelmed hospital have certainly done their job. We got that message. And it didn't happen. Now We need you to encourage us that we can indeed move forward at some point because you have done your job. The morale of the city is equally important to controlling the citizenry. We are reaching the end of our savings. Businesses will start to permanently close if sometime soon we do not reopen the city. Tell us, what is your plan? Give us some encouragement. Folks are getting restless, and it is your job to not only control us, but to encourage us that we will reopen for business. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dale. I'm back on there. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And I'll just respond with that hopefully we'll be working together as an assembly towards those ends, and that the federal government and the state government is looking at, last week here, of course, May 1st. The last thing I'll say to that, Mr. Parkinson, is that the city is under state mandate for the things that are currently going on in terms of quarantining and that type of thing. So we just need to wait for the state to let us know when those are lifted and if the community is ready to move forward. But excellent point, appreciate it very much. Next on, I believe, Mike Lockaby.
Yep.
Mr. Lockaby, are you on?
Can you hear me, Steve?
Yeah, we got you now. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, this is a prepared letter here, or statement. Interrupt if you like, or please stay till the end if you want to question me or impugn me, whatever. This isn't designed to impugn anybody personally. That needs to be understood to start with. You've all taken on the responsibility of representing us, and you do it for nothing. It's appreciated. I've also spent thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours in the last year representing our community. It's a good cause. Further thanks to our first responders and healthcare workers, I feel bad the possibility they will go to their families at night under Health Mandate 14. Guess we'll see how that plays out. At this time, I don't see the need to have further restriction here in Wrangell. I feel the state mandates are working and are enough for now. The governor had some words of hope yesterday. Good for him. That was appreciated. These are concerning times for all of us, though we have no COVID cases in Wrangell. But I will not live in abject fear. I will not. I do know what's going on and what our restrictions are. I also know what we can do and can't be doing. I know for a fact that we can be more open now and working more. The mandates allow it. All of the mandates allow it, federal and state. Some require that we continue to work. If you persist to bring more restrictions on us, I'd appreciate it to consider what effects it will have down the road. Maybe you could look and see if we're going to be paying 12% sales taxes or 18 mil property taxes next year or sooner. It's important. I realize that it's a second priority to some, but it is vital important to the health and well-being of our community as stated in the CISA mandates. Please don't play us all stupid any longer. Many of us are well-traveled and intelligent. We do know what's going on. We never chose to elect you to plan and run our lives, families, and businesses, but to inform us. And you've done a decent job on that, with the exception of, do you see any light? Do you see any hope? I haven't heard any from you. I would really, really like to. Most all of us have common sense. That's what we're doing right now with our precautions. We get it. Most of our businesses can and should be working if they choose. They support critical infrastructure. Let them do it. Please support our critical infrastructure and at work on our workers. It's good for the community and it's mandated. Please identify the support systems this city provides for critical infrastructure and have it be open as the Department of Homeland Security, the Cyber and Infrastructure Security Agency, and the State of Alaska. Please read the 24 categories of exemptions that comprise essential critical workers. most of our business fall under that. Most of them fall under that. They can be open more, and we that will also allow us to be ready to come back as other curves fall, which they are doing, and things open up. I hope it happens in time for all of our seasons, so we can have a pretty normal summer and a pretty normal economy here in Wrangell. And I would appreciate hearing from you. The last two meetings, I heard nothing. I'd appreciate hearing from you and your insight as to down the road and how we recover from what was already lost, and possibly how we could go on as soon as possible so we don't lose any more. Thanks a lot, and thanks again to all of you. I mean, you know, when I have bad words for you, they're not aimed at you and your family. They're aimed at this issue. That's it. So thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lockerbie. And both Mike and Dale, really appreciate you guys taking the time to come and speak to us tonight. It's so vitally important that we hear your thoughts and your ideas, and we appreciate that. And I think the Assembly has heard loud and clear. We need some more vision for moving forward economically. So thank you, and I hope you guys will come back and speak to us again. All right. Is there any amendment? Sorry, item four. Is there any amendments to the agenda? Any conflicts of interest? And I'll start, Patty. Assemblymember Gilbert, could I please turn the gavel to you quickly while I declare mine?
Yes.
Thank you. My wife and I are part shareholders. We're shareholders in my son's fishing business. We are minority shareholders in that business. And so actions that are taken could affect his livelihood and hence our investment.
Pending the Assembly overruling me, I declare you have no conflict of interest.
Thank you very much, Patty. Is anybody else conflict of interest?
Yes, Mayor.
Yep, Maya, go ahead.
This is Assemblymember DeLong. I do have a household income which relies on commercial fishing, so I will just declare that.
Okay, thank you. I don't sense there's a substantial conflict of interest there. Thank you, Assemblymember DeLong. Assemblymember Decker.
Yes, thank you. I would like to declare the potential two separate potential conflicts of interest. The first is that we own and operate a commercial fishing vessel and small business. We fish primarily out of Wrangell and other places in Southeast. My husband operates that operation, and my two children work on commercial fishing vessels in the summer as well. So I'd like to declare that first and then move to the second one.
We'll clear the first one off there and then move on to the second one, Julie. So I think given the generality of the fleet, and most folks have some type of interest in the commercial fleet, I don't see that as a significant economic. And your adult children, I think the same. So I don't see a conflict of interest unless the Assembly like to weigh in on that. Hearing nothing, you want to move on to your second one, please?
Sure. So secondly, I work for a nonprofit organization called the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation. I think I've mentioned that to the Assembly in the past. I've worked for the organization, I don't know, about 8 or 9 years. The organization works on issues in R&D for the seafood industry statewide. Because of our connection with our membership and our ability to network within the industry, COVID-19 issues have become an area where I've been asked to pay attention and try to feed information out to folks. With that, that's my second conflict, basically, is my position as executive director of this organization. One thing I would like to note is that if the industry was shut down for some reason in the state this summer, my position would remain the same and my salary would remain the same. But I wanted to put that out there.
So your salary is paid by the dues of your membership?
Actually, the dues of the membership pays a very small amount of the total revenue to the organization. We receive grants and then fees for services for doing sustainability certification work for the industry and a number of other projects, mariculture development and others.
Okay. The other question I just have is on your board of directors, is there any conflict? Because technically the board would be the ones that would determine your salary and your contracts. Is there any potential conflicts with any of the board that might benefit or not benefit from any of your actions on the assembly?
So I have a board member that works for Trident Seafoods, and the Pacific Seafood or Sea Level Plant in Wrangell is not a member of AFDS. I think that's the only, the closest connections.
Okay. Just because this is a little bit more complicated or convoluted in terms of, you know, advocacy versus direct financial, I'm a little bit, I want to open it up for any assembly member that would like to ask any questions as well. Okay, it sounds like the assembly doesn't have any questions. I'm going to declare that you do not.
I'm sorry, Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
Assemblymember Gilbert raised her hand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that. Assemblymember Gilbert, go ahead.
Yes, I had a similar problem that, and I will have to declare a conflict of interest on our Thursday meeting when we discuss the school budget. Even though I don't have a financial interest, it's because I'm an advocate of the school board that I have to declare. So I don't know if that lends any information to the assembly or not.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I've personally removed myself from a board where there was even a perceived conflict years ago. Not even as a voting member, but as a member appointed by the assembly. Advocacy, you know, question is, does it trace back to a direct financial gain? And as we know, typically these things are related to being traced back to being a tangible action of gain. Lisa, do you have any comment on my analysis of that? Am I missing anything?
No, Mr. Mayor, I guess certainly what Assemblymember Gilbert described can be looked at as a conflict of interest as well, but there is a specific state statute and we have a definition in code as well, if anybody wants clarification on what those are.
Julie, did you have a comment? I apologize, Julie. I think for some reason the hands disappear down below. So Kim, keep firing emails or text messages if I'm missing someone.
Okay.
Sorry, this was an old one. I apologize, my old text. Well, you know, Assemblymember Gilbert raises a good point that even the advocacy that has been drawn out to a reason to be reclused, although Assemblymember Gilbert did that on her own, that was not an action taken by the assembly. Assemblymember Powell, you have a question or a comment?
I would like Lisa to clarify.
Lisa, to clarify, what's that, Assemblymember Powell?
He was going to read us a statute.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Mr. Mayor and Assemblymember Powell, the clerk actually has that information. I would ask her to read that information, please.
Okay. So according to state statutes, we have each municipality shall adopt a conflict of interest ordinance, and we have done that. So a substantial financial interest in our code 3.04.112, B as in boy, F as in Frank, under definitions says that a substantial financial interest means an expectation of receiving a pecuniary benefit. A financial interest of a person includes any financial interest of a member of that person's immediate family. A person has a financial interest in an organization in which that person has an ownership interest or is a director, officer, or an employee. A person has a financial interest in a decision if a financial interest of that person will vary with the outcome of the decision. A substantial financial interest does not include the following: a personal or financial interest which is not of the magnitude that would exert an influence on an average reasonable person, a personal or financial interest of a type which is generally possessed by the public or a large class of persons to which that official or employee belongs, or an action which would have an insignificant or conjectural effect on the matter in question. And then when we go a little bit further down the code in section 3.04.112C1, it says an elected borough official may not participate in any official action in which he or she or a member of his or her household has a substantial financial interest.
Assemblymember Powell.
Yes.
You had your hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had it up to have her read that.
Okay, sounds good. All right. Well, I'm going to just come out, and it does concern me that this is Assemblymember Decker is the executive director of a group that directly advocates for the fisheries. On her board, she directly has members that are involved in business in our community. She has members on her board whose companies have interests in our community. And that those interests get blurred, but given the reading as it stands, and I know when I was removed, I was quite kicked off because I didn't feel it rose to the same standard. I feel that the same standard has to be applied here for that. So I'm gonna take Maya's question first and then I'll make a judgment on it. Maya, go ahead.
I guess this is more of just a comment that the word substantial, and after reading the code, I feel that it is not in direct conflict. That's just my comment.
Thank you, Maya. So I have two ways I can go. I can make a ruling or I can put it to the assembly. I think at this point, if with the with the blessing of the assembly, I will rule that Assemblymember Decker does not have a conflict that meets that laid out in the assembly. In the code. So with that, we will move on. Unless the assembly would like to revisit it. I'm looking for hands here. I don't see any hands.
I don't see any hands.
Thank you. I have so many people online here, I have to scroll through to see those hands. All right, so conflict of interest. Consent agenda. Do we have someone to make a motion on our consent agenda?
Move to approve the consent agenda as presented. This is Patty.
Been moved by Assembly Member, my goodness, by Patty.
I get that.
Okay, Assembly Member Gilbert, and it sounds like Assembly Member Powell seconded. Is there any discussion on the consent agenda?
That was actually Larrabee, but roll with it.
Sorry, Assembly Member Larrabee, thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Okay, Assembly Members Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Okay, item number 7, Borough Manager's Report. Start with your COVID-19 emergency report, Lisa.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have just a couple of items since we had a substantial email, or excuse me, a substantial meeting last night where there was an update. So I will just say a couple of things and then I will defer the rest of my comments to Captain Spray, who I believe is online and has some things she'd like to talk about. The first is, last night I was asked how many plans we have received for voluntary review, and we now have 15. So that's significant, and several of those were received yesterday. And we've got one, I'm exaggerating by one, actually one we just know of is on the way. But so 14 in hand and one that we've been advised is on the way. The second thing I'd like to bring up is to the point that was raised by one of our community members this evening. We understand that our businesses, especially those that were required to close under governor's mandates, are facing significant hardship. And there has been a request from a handful of businesses for a potential sales tax first quarter calendar year sales tax payment remittance deferral. And so I am planning to bring that forward for consideration by the assembly for those businesses that were required to be closed. Again, it would just be a temporary deferral. It would not be a, certainly we're not forgiving the collection of sales tax. So that's something I'm planning on working on, is to hopefully ease the burden for some businesses. The other thing I would like to do is make sure that the assembly knows, it was mentioned that there is potentially a meeting going to be held with members from the governor's office and mayors and managers. My understanding is that meeting is going to be Thursday at noon. And I submitted a list of topics for consideration to the AML executive director. And one of those there were a number of them, but one of those in particular, Mr. Mayor and Assemblymember Powell, was clarification on unified command. And normally, unified command includes incident commanders from every municipality or from a municipality where there's a disaster. Obviously, since this disaster includes every community in the state, perhaps that is untenable. However, what is the municipal representation on the unified command? The other thing I just want to clarify, I apologize that I didn't say this earlier. Captain Spray also asked Superintendent Lancaster to be on the phone to give an update on the newest mandates regarding the school. And we do have an update also from Dr. Prasanka, who is here from the medical center to update us there. And then if there are any questions, our chiefs, Buness and Radke, are on the phone as well. So I'll let Captain Spray take it away, and then Dr. Prasanka, and then Superintendent Lancaster, please, if that's okay, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you for that.
Hello.
And did you have a question?
No, the whole system went dead for a minute.
Okay, yeah, no, that was me trying to get unmuted quickly. Go ahead.
Okay.
Captain Spray, do you want to start?
Yes, thank you.
I just wanted to give a quick update of what's been happening in the at the fire hall and the EOC realm of things. And first, wanted to start off by thanking everyone for doing their part in the community. Thank you all for signing in tonight to hear our updates. Thank you for staying home and keeping yourselves safe and wearing your face covering when you're out in the community, washing your hands. And I do want to thank Mayor Prasanka and Lisa for their radio story today about not only keeping our hands washed and using hand sanitizer and keeping our face covering on, but also taking the time to wash our homes. We're spending more and more time at home, and I think it's really important for folks to remember to do some spring cleaning and to wipe those highly used areas like handles and door handles and whatnot. So keeping that in the back of our minds. We have a couple of things that we're accomplishing little by little, or just making sure that we're addressing every day and ensuring our emergency responders are healthy and safe, our healthcare workers and also the public. There's an emphasis on this. Obviously, this virus is tricky. We don't know all of its ins and outs. And so we're doing everything that we can that we know of, and that changes often. So that's why communicating like this, communicating to the public, providing that information to our media, our city staff, and just making sure we're increasing the awareness, addressing all the misinformation and all those rumors. I appreciate when we tackle those right away. And doing what we can to provide information to protect the public. I just want to let the community know that there is a new website that the state has put out, and that is COVID, C-O-V as in Victor, I-D as in David, COVID19.alaska.gov. And they have combined and consolidated to one website now, and that has a lot of the all of the DHSS mandates, the health alerts, and anything state related you can get on that one website now. They also have started an email, and this is for the general public, and it's covidquestions@alaska.gov. And that is if you have any questions regarding any of the mandates or just general questions for the state. Again, that's covidquestions@alaska.gov, and they encourage anyone to send their questions there. They also have their phone number of 211 that you can call to inquire about our community-specific questions, and they can lead you in the right direction at 211. The DHSS put out a youth-specific message on their Instagram and their Facebook. They have a lot of good information on the Alaska DHSS Facebook page, just to encourage the youth to share amongst their peers, because that's kind of our statewide. I think we've all addressed, all the communities have addressed that our youth are ones that may be having a challenge with this staying at home. And trying to stay away from each other. So just really trying to push that message. I know there's a lot of folks in the community that are helping with the making of the face. And I appreciate every single one of you guys. The library has a number of masks right now, or face coverings right now. And if you are looking for one, you can go to masks@wrangell.com. And inquire and work with Margaret and Sarah to get a face covering. I've been working with the Senior Center. We are putting in a request to the state for more PPE for the Senior Center. These guys are delivering meals to our elders and have eyes on our elders almost every single day. We want to keep these guys healthy, and they've indicated that they are in need of some masks and some of the nitrile gloves. And so are putting together a request for that for those guys. There was also some changes in information For some of the supplemental nutrition program and WIC programs because they recognized that there's some difficulties getting some of the provisions. And so they've made changes and there's made some waivers, and you can find that on that COVID-19.alaska.gov website. And I just want to end by, please check your smoke detectors. We're all spending more time at home, and if you need to replace or are in need of a smoke detector, to call the fire hall at 874-3223. I think that will have to wrap it up for me.
Thanks very much, Dorian. Appreciate that. Lisa, who is up next for you?
Dr. Prezonka, please.
Lynn, we're not hearing you. If you are unmuted, I'm not sure.
Mayor, I don't actually see her on the line any longer.
Okay, she may have had, I know she's on call tonight, go to the ER. Do we have Lisa on the line?
I apologize, she just messaged me and said that her Zoom failed, so I'll get her back on the line and I'll text you when she's back on the line.
Lisa, do you want to move on to your next person?
Yes, Superintendent Lancaster, please.